9:47, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. The big story that unfortunately broke again last night is a familiar one, a terrorist attack in the UK. Seven people died after an attack at the London Bridge and the Borough Market there. Seven people killed, many more injured. For the latest now, we go to ABC's Tom Rivers, who is on the line with us live from London this morning here in Chicago, a little bit later on in the day there in the UK. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Sure thing, Dean. Yeah, as you can well imagine, London is reeling again. And it's almost like a big punch. You get through one of these type of events and you recover eventually and you start feeling normal. And then something else comes along. And it's this town is hurting today. I just came down early this morning from Manchester because we were planning on covering the big Ariana Grande benefit concert up there.
Yeah.
That's going to go forward. And they've redoubled their efforts to demand that they are having a, if you will, a concert of unity up there and to help the people affected there, those who had lost loved ones up there of the 22 or those who have been injured, some people still in the hospital. So that goes on as well. So, the big question is, you know, where do we go from here? How do we redouble efforts in the UK to try to do a better job on the security situation? And it's really, really a tough one. It's very difficult indeed.
Yeah, Tom, can you describe this area where the incident took place? It's a very busy night spot, a Saturday night. Tourists are out. People are out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a packed, jam-packed area.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll start. And this is, it's got some similarities with the Westminster attack about two and a half months ago, where a vehicle was used as a weapon. So major trauma injuries for many. In fact, of the roughly about four dozen people injured right now being treated, about 21 are said to be in pretty serious shape. From there, it got to the south end of London Bridge, and it got into the Borough Market area, which is historically very important as you can well imagine, a fruit vegetable market area, but also now it's very gentrified with restaurants, pubs, you name it, people letting their hair down after a tough work week and not expecting anything like this, and it raised its ugly head again, this time with three individuals jumping out of the weaponized vehicle armed with long knives and just started stabbing anybody that came close to them. Eventually, about 8 minutes in this operation, British police, armed police, cornered these three individuals. They're wearing what are described as fake explosive vests, and they didn't know if they were the real deal or not. The police didn't. Shot and killed all three of them immediately. And that's where we are right now. And we are in the midst of a general election coming up in five short days. So there's a lot to focus on right now here.
Yeah. Do we know anything about the terrorists? Do we know who they are, from where they come?
Yeah, we getting a few hints. There's been arrest of about a dozen people so far in Barking, which is in the east part of London over here. The authorities know who these three are, probably. But for their own reasons, they're not releasing the names, locations at this stage. But, I think we can add up two and two and say they have some connections with the east side down in Barking.
The reason why that's significant is that the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has, talked about, issued a statement saying that there will be increased police presence today over the course of the next few days. That there's no reason to be alarmed. He's trying to bring calm to the London area as I'm reading stories that are coming over. You may know better or differently.
Yeah, exactly. And he's saying, look, we're going to get through this thing. And yes, there's, you get to the point where how much more police are you going to throw on the street? We saw it 2 weeks ago in Manchester. We're seeing it here in London when the level was raised to the top level, critical. We dropped down to severe, which means almost as bad, and who knows, we may be going back up to the top level again. But the police presence is there not only to defend, but also to reassure the public that, yes, they can get on the subway, you can get on the train, you can go to major tourist areas and feel pretty safe and secure. Nothing is guaranteed, but that is the intention.
Also significant that President Trump is firing off a series of tweets this morning saying that we must stop being politically correct and get down to the business of security for our people. He said we need the travel ban as an extra layer of security, among many tweets that the president has sent out since last night. So we don't even know if the terrorist of this attack came from someplace else into London to do this, or whether or not they are born and raised in London, as was the perpetrator of the Manchester bombing.
That is correct. So we don't at this stage know. And there's a preponderance of homegrown extremists. We've seen a lot of them on the continent. We've seen quite a few here in the UK as well. Born and bred here, and they become radicalized. So, it's not necessarily a situation that they've gone to places like Syria and Iraq, learned their trade, and come home. That certainly can be the case, and it with a number of those that were involved in the November 2015 Paris attacks. Some of those were also homegrown. But it's a mixture, and you're absolutely right to make that point. They could be, guys that just grew up here and has nothing to do, per se, with what's happening in parts of the Middle East.
Yeah, with being an immigrant from someplace else who've come into a country to perpetrate terrorism. We just don't know enough about this yet to make that assumption. How would you categorize, what is it, just about 4 o'clock in the afternoon there?
Yeah, about 4 o'clock. Guess what? It's in the forefront of everybody's thoughts here.
Yeah. Would you say that are the streets quiet? Are people staying home? Or is it business as usual? How would you describe it there?
Yeah, it's fairly quiet, fairly subdued. I'm looking at my window here at the west part of London, and people are milling around doing their normal things on a Sunday. But I think when you get outside, people are just kind of deep in their thoughts today, and it has a lot of that has to do with the average citizen say, what can we do? And you kind of reach the end of what you possibly can do. You've got more cameras per square inch in this town than anywhere else on the planet. You've got as many resources that you can throw police-wise, seemingly, as you can. And still, some of these people fall through the cracks. And I guess they have to redouble efforts to say, look, if they're on the radar, we have to triply be sure that they should, not be on the radar if they're deemed to be all right. But sometimes we've had cases where, yeah, they were examined. For whatever reason, they quit looking at these people and they end up doing something down the road. So it's a heck of a dilemma.
Yeah. And I think it's important to emphasize the investigation is going on right now. It's in investigation mode. To jump to any hasty conclusions at this point is just simply premature. In addition, by the way, to the statement where the mayor of London is trying to reassure people, he also said that this is barbaric and horrific and cowardly and so forth. So I mean, he had some strong statements for it as well. So that's it sounds like that's about it from there right now. Anything else we should know?
Not really. Okay. I guess if we can, we try to dip in and watch a little bit of the concert from Manchester. It's a great city, and the people there are trying to choke back some of the tears and trying to move on with life. Same story here in London. So it's taken another shot. It will bounce back, but it's feeling the pain today.
Tom, we appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Tom Rivers from ABC News, direct from London, live in London, describing what it's like there this morning and what went on last night. 10:19, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. We continue following up on the terrorist attack that took place last night in London. We're going to be following up on that. The big benefit concert is taking place in a couple of hours in Manchester. We'll be following up on that coming up a little bit later on. I thought it would be a good morning to check in with our friend Paul Coit, who is in London, broadcaster in the UK. Paul, I would say probably your biggest accomplishment, friend of Steve Cochran. Wouldn't you say that's most formidable?
My biggest accomplishment in life, without doubt.
Yeah.
25 years plus, and we're still friends. It's amazing. And it's kept along with me so long.
That is amazing. Most people don't last 25 minutes with Steve. So, long-time friend of Steve, and I'm happy to say also a frequent visitor here on our program. I just thought I would check in with you on this. I mean, we've been hearing all the hard news on this. Can you describe that area where this attack took place? I mean, this is a big sort of nightlife area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But the thing is, it's probably not the biggest. There are two. There's the City of London, which is where you would recognize a lot of the, like, Tower Bridge, the very famous bridge. See, a lot of people would probably be confused over there between London Bridge and Tower Bridge. Tower Bridge is the famous-looking one with the towers that opens up. London Bridge is the next bridge downriver from the Tower, upriver from the Thames, which is a very sort of just normal bridge. So often people think Tower Bridge is London Bridge. But anyway, London Bridge is very much in the city. And then further, probably if you go about a mile or two in a westerly direction, that's when you hit the West End, and that's where, which is probably the busiest area. Now, as you cross over London, now stop me if my geography is throwing you, but as you cross over London Bridge to the south of the river, across, then you end up in an area which is called Borough Market, which is a very old market area, but a lot of restaurants and bars have sprung up there over the past few years, and a lot of people then tend to go there on a night out. It's not the busiest, I'd say, part of London, but still very busy. So what happened is that this van then came over London Bridge, and as it head over London Bridge, that was when it was very similar to what happened, as we know, on Westminster Bridge, which is a couple of miles to the west a couple of months ago, and then mowed people down, and then these three assailants got out and then headed towards the Borough Market area, which is just probably a few hundred yards from the bridge, and you would lead onto that, and that was where everything tend to happen there.
I would hate to think that people are getting used to this and, you know, where this kind of thing doesn't faze them anymore because it's happening with such frequency. But what is sort of the tone of, you know, people on the street and general reaction?
I think, to be honest with you, Dean, I think most people are not going to allow it to change their lives. Obviously, you can't help it. It's human nature. I mean, it happened with 7/7. I remember traveling on the London Underground, and you look at people and you think, you know, could it be here? Could this be someone with a backpack? And you can't help feel that way because of some of the things that have happened. But it's that, without sounding corny, it's that old London spirit that's been there since the Blitz. They call it the Blitz spirit, whereas there's no way that people will let this affect them. So they will go about their business. People will go out. People won't stop going out. They won't stop doing things. They won't stop heading into London. Because also, at the end of the day, you've got to look at how many millions of people are in this city compared to the amount that have been affected by this terrible tragedy. It's very unlikely that it's going to happen to you, but also you have to be extremely vigilant. I think that's the main thing, is people's vigilance. I think people are a lot more aware and being a lot more careful and being vigilant about it, but without letting it affect what they do from day to day, which I think is the most important thing.
Yeah, is there a debate at all going on at this early juncture in this, in what, if anything, the government should be doing differently, should be doing less, more?
There's the meeting of the government, the called COBRA, which is on terrorist organisations and terrorist attacks. So there was a meeting that was organised first thing this morning, which the Prime Minister headed up, of course. Exactly what's going to happen from that? I mean, it's very difficult because what do you do? This is the biggest argument. You've got people that are saying, well, anybody that's got these views should be locked up, but then do you lock up 3,000 people for having a view without actually breaking the law as such? It's a very, very difficult thing to try and police and also to try and deal with. So, you know, we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. Yeah. Because it's one of those attacks that, as we know, could happen anywhere in the world, which anybody could do. It's just a very, very difficult thing to police. But what was very impressive is the fact that the police were on the scene, and the assailants were shot within 8 minutes of that first call, and they were on the scene within two. So it could have been so much worse. I mean, but, you know, what actually happens from here, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, and we were talking with an ABC News correspondent in London a little while ago, who was talking about all that, and he talked about the response by the mayor of London, by the prime minister, and Donald Trump's reaction to this morning. Several tweets this morning from our president talking about his travel ban and what he would do during this period where the investigation is still going on. Lots of people on our text line saying all Muslims should be deported, from the country, et cetera, except that many of these people are like second generation born in the UK.
They are. They're British citizens. They're not people that have come over from a different country and now they're here to cause havoc. They're British citizens. They are probably second generation, maybe even third generation, that were brought up here and for somehow got this into their head, whichever way it went in. And it's not the religion. It's not the religion as far as, and I think that's the view of still most people in this country. You're not going to turn and go, well, that's it, it's Muslims. It's a faction, and it's a small part of that. It's the you can't then blame everybody for the religion that they have because it doesn't agree with what these people are doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the view generally of most people in this country that are not turning, going, well, that's it. It's all down to Muslims, because it isn't.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants everything safer. Of course, everybody wants things safer, but it's obviously a tricky situation. What are you hearing about what's going on in Manchester today?
Well, in Manchester, the concert, obviously, there's going to be, you know, a very big security, and now that's going to be huge. But this concert just proves that, you know, it's not going to stop anybody. It's not going to stop anybody's lives. People are still going to go about their daily lives and carry on the way they were before. And it's really everybody standing together and saying, look, you know, this is not going to stop us. So the concert will be going ahead tonight.
Yeah. Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, who am I forgetting? Coldplay, Usher, Pharrell Williams is going to be performing. And the concert is going to be broadcast here in the U.S., by the way, on the Freeform cable channel. It'll be broadcast live, and then ABC will be broadcasting it after the NBA Finals, after their newscast tonight, if anyone's interested in seeing. It's going to be like a one-hour compilation.
And I know what a Justin Bieber fan you are there, Dean, so you know, don't be missing that.
Baby. Who isn't? Everything well in the world of Paul Coit?
Everything's great, yeah. Everything's very good, apart from, you know, what we're talking about. Everything else is good, and you know, everybody's going to be going about their business, and as if, you know, we're just going to be business as usual. Everybody's going to be back to work in London tomorrow, and that's it. So you don't need to worry about the spirit of people here in London.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's always good to hear your voice. Look forward to talking with you again soon. Paul Coit, who is a broadcaster, you could hear all over the UK. Thank you so much, Paul.
Pleasure. Always good to speak to you, Dean.
Thank you, my friend. I 1220, a little more of U2, part of the show that they did last night at Soldier Field included this song, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. At the show last night, Bono talking about the bombing in Manchester in the UK last week and the terrorist incident that took place in London last night, and also, sadly, invoking all of the violence that takes place on the streets of Chicago. We wanted to talk a little bit about the London incident last night and Manchester. Joining us on the phone line is DePaul history professor, WGN-TV terrorism analyst Tom Mikaitis, who joins us on the phone right now. Tom, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Sure.
So your initial response to the attack that took place last night?
Well, sadly, it conforms to a pattern of violence we've seen unfolding over the last couple of years, where terrorists are resorting to vehicles to do this kind of damage. The good news is there does not appear, so far, at least that's what 10 Downing Street is saying, to be a connection to Manchester. This appears to be some sort of a copycat or a group of fellow travelers, et cetera. And it, you know, it was horrific in and of itself, but it was not done with the kind of sophistication the Manchester attack was.
This seems to be the new way of perpetrating these attacks, though. While in the past, it was airlines. We've got so much security now on airlines, and it seems fairly secure. It was huge venue halls where security is unprecedented. Although it's still happening there, but this is not the first time that we've seen a vehicle simply mow people down in the street.
Yeah, actually, a couple of years back, you may recall that Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, an Al-Qaeda affiliate, actually published on the cover of their Inspire magazine in English a picture of the Chicago skyline and instructions on how to do exactly this. In the European context, guns are significantly harder to get a hold of. So are explosives. We're still not clear on what was brought in by the Manchester bomber or whether that was made there. But anybody can get a vehicle, and crowds of pedestrians are virtually impossible to protect. Look at the complexity of a city the size of Chicago on any rush hour morning, and you realize you've got a target-rich environment. It's just not easy to do much of anything about.
So the English Prime Minister, Theresa May, in one of her statements last night, talked about getting tougher on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
What could you do? How can you get tougher on this kind of violence, of act of barbarism?
Yeah, it's not that she would actually do much by way. She's not talking about physical protection. What she's talking about is perhaps being more aggressive in monitoring, following up, and perhaps even detaining some of the 3,000 or so British subjects who are already on watch lists. And possibly there's an effort to crack down on if they do have problems with imams in particular mosques, being hotbeds of radicalization, you could do something there as well. They do not have the kind of restriction, open-ended free speech we do in the United States. They actually, during the height of the IRA campaign, banned journalists from doing interviews with members of the Irish Republican Army. So, that's the sort of thing they can do. And then the other is a more grassroots campaign to try and get into the communities and identify the vulnerable young men, and in some cases young women, who might be radicalized, and try to get them some help and to kind of prevent that process before it goes any further.
Earlier this morning, the mayor of London was trying to, the way I interpret his message, trying to bring some calm and trying to reassure Londoners to get on with their everyday life, saying there will be increased police presence over the course of the next few days. While this was a deplorable attack, there is no reason to be alarmed. President Trump this morning fired off some tweets this morning criticizing him and saying, one of his tweets said that we must stop being politically correct and get down to the business of security for our people. This is from President Trump. What kind of effect does that have on all of this at this early stage of the game, not even 24 hours after the attack?
Well, the mayor of London is absolutely correct. I mean, the thing is, these attacks are horrific when you put them next to other tragedies, other forms of violence, particularly in the United States. We get them in a healthier perspective. Terrorism is a serious concern. It is not an existential threat. You do have to go on with your life. If somebody handed me a ticket, I'd go to London tomorrow. I have no fears of doing that. I've lived in that city and walked all over it. I would do it again. I think if you do otherwise, you're handing the terrorist a victory. This is not about political correctness. Nobody is saying we walk on eggshells or don't call terrorism what it really is. It says that we really make a concerted effort to attack it at its grassroots. And the grassroots are in the communities where the young people are coming from. And the more you talk tough on, we're going to do this, we're going to come after you, the less likely you're going to get the cooperation from the community leaders, the parents and others who might be the ones who could help you identify the people that are at risk.
The president also tweeted trying to make a plea for his travel ban again. Does the events of Manchester last week and the event last night in London, does that speak to the president's desire to get this ban for the U.S.?
No, because the Manchester attacker was a British subject. The man who ran people down on Westminster Bridge and tried to knife his way into Parliament was not only a British subject, but a convert to Islam. A study done by Bob Pate at the University of Chicago says not only are immigrants and refugees not the problem, but that some of the ISIS supporters in the United States are white people who've converted to Islam. And even if we accepted the idea that bans work, which they don't, I mean, the countries make no sense. The Berlin's Christmas market attacker was from Tunisia. Tunisia's not on the list. The Brussels airport and the Paris attacks, the people were either children or they were of Moroccan descent born in France and Belgium. Morocco's not on the list. 15 and 19 hijackers were Saudis. Saudi Arabia is not on the list. San Bernardino shooter was Pakistani. Pakistan is not on the list. So even if we accepted the mistaken premise that a ban would work, the list of countries make no sense. And then you go, okay, Iraq was on the list the first time because it was a haven for terrorism. Now, 6 months later, it's not. It's off the list. I mean, if there were any kind of underlying logic to it, it would be a bit easier to understand.
So what steps do you think can be taken to try to prevent these kinds of things from happening? But when I think of it, I put my hands up in the air. I have no idea what's effective.
I think people forget, that we are having significant success. We're foiling plots. We are degrading. Part of why ISIS is lashing out so aggressively is they're being hammered in their heartland. They're a multi-level organization. The more they're squeezed in the territory they control, the more they're going to use their network to hit back at the countries that they perceive are fighting them.
Making That's progress against
happen.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And this is an ideological movement. And the thing, too, is, let's not forget the level of violence we have in the United States. A man in Portland, Oregon, stabbed three people, killed two of them based on a radical white supremacist ideology. I've called that terrorism. If you look at the number of people who die in other violent ways in the United States needlessly, that puts it in perspective. But we have got good border security. It takes 18 months to 2 years to emigrate to the United States. That's severe in-depth vetting, if ever there was. We've got better airport security. We're paying attention to intelligence warning. We're going after ISIS in the homeland. Beyond that, we just have to keep on keeping on. It's like fighting organized crime. We've been doing that now for, a century? We don't get rid of it, but what we do is reduce it to a level where it is not a serious preoccupation.
Tom Mikaitis, DePaul History Professor, WGN-TV Terrorism Analyst. Thank you, Tom, for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Happy to do it.